This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, it's Mark Teixeira. The Michael K. Show starts now. Here's Michael, Don, and Peter on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday. It's April 16th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. And as you know, the other 19 and a half, certainly your responsibility. Before we even start, the Mets have been postponed again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of terrible weather in Colorado. And just another brilliant decision by MLB to have them build a stadium in Colorado without a retractable roof. So there'll be a doubleheader tomorrow, and then obviously they're hoping for a single game on Sunday. And it's terrible. It's terrible what's happening to the Mets. They're off to a great start, and they can't get any rhythm. They just can't get any rhythm. And, you know, you could just laugh it off and go, oh, they're still doing well. When you start backing up doubleheaders with a team that doesn't have real great depth in starting pitching, Don, it's awful. The Mets landed yesterday in a driving snowstorm. I mean, Yes is showing a video that someone sent out. I think it's from Stroman, walking on the tarmac, and there's, you know, it's a driving snowstorm. They're walking through snow. Baseball shouldn't be played like that. And I thought that Mike Vaccaro of the Post had a really smart column today. Don't pitch Jacob DeGrom in this. And if the other pitchers get upset, well, you're babying DeGrom. You go, yeah, we are. He's more important than you. Sorry.
Well, like, in reflection of the conversation we had yesterday,
I was thinking the same thing.
There's, there's ridiculous over-precaution, and then there's just being smart. I don't need my franchise pitcher in a game in April to throw in 26-degree weather in flurries, when on Sunday, because it's the day game, it's going to be warmer. Because I don't even know whether they're going to be able to play tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, well. It's going to be awful tomorrow, too.
Yeah, so Sunday, I think, is the more likely day. I mean, that's logical, you know. Not playing your best player in a battle for first place late in the season is stupid on one end. You know, pitching your franchise pitcher in snow and 26-degree weather is stupid on another direction. So I think that's the right thing. And, you know, if it's garbage tomorrow, forget it. Do an opener. Do whatever you got to do and just get them ready to pitch on Sunday. But, you know, I laughed today when somebody told me the Dodgers are the first team to 10 wins. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. The Mets haven't even played 10 games yet.
It's amazing. Crazy. In 16 days of a season, they haven't even, I think they've what, played 7 games?
8. They're 5-3, right?
Yeah. It's awful.
They're playing every other day.
Awful.
They're like a hockey or a basketball team, never mind a baseball team. And you're right. These doubleheaders, and they were fortunate. They swept the doubleheader against Philadelphia, but that's not commonplace. You know, you're lucky to get a split sometimes in these things. And, you know, games that you would have won on single days, now you double them up, and it can hurt your bullpen. And it's frustrating.
I don't want you to be frustrated.
Well, yeah, no, I am. And it's not. And the worst of it is, I can't blame the Mets, and I can blame Major League Baseball, but it's because of these stupid open air stadiums in cold weather places. But, you know, that's something that you're not going to be able to change tomorrow.
Listen, you could almost understand why you're not putting a retractable roof on in ballparks in New York or whatever, even Chicago, although Chicago, maybe they should. But when you build ballparks in Minneapolis and Denver, Colorado, and you decide that you don't need a retractable roof, that's just dumb. It's dumb. And it's also promoting injuries. I mean, we talk about resting players so they don't get hurt. Well, who's going to get hurt tomorrow in a doubleheader when it's 30 degrees? That's not when baseball's supposed to be played. And again, I've said this over and over again. There's a part of me that can't wait for the Twins to make the World Series. They did it in 97. No, 87 and 91. And there was a dome then. Now there's no dome. It's a gorgeous ballpark. No dome. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Disaster. Now, during the pandemic, I did a lot of shopping online.
Sure you did. So did everybody.
One of the things I did, Peter, I don't know if you have the return yet, you know, if you could see what's on the screen.
I got you pulled up.
Okay. I bought what I thought was a delightful sport coat, and it's by Loro Piana. It's really nice, and it was really inexpensive, and I loved it. And then I got it, and I put it on today, and I looked on camera, and I looked like Jim Brockmeyer, and I'm not sure that's the look I wanted to go for.
No, that's definitely – listen, it's nice, but it's not you. It's not you.
What do you mean it's not me?
It's not something that you look great in. I'm sure it was expensive. I'm sure
no,
the material
was terrific.
No, it
wasn't terribly expensive. The material's great.
But I don't –
Well, for those
that
are listening on the radio, it's kind of a – what would you say, Peter, a pinkish hue?
It's a pinkish hue. It's checkered.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big plaid.
It's like a big plaid. It is very Brockmeyer. I don't think it looks bad.
The colors just match. The tie is beautiful. I mean, but it's just a little different. As Don says, it's not your typical K outfit. And I'm sure that Paul O'Neill is going to be all over me today for it.
Well, listen, at least don't feel bad. It's casual Friday for me. I'm wearing a WCW Nitro shirt. And
yeah, you look like a hobo today. Well, what's with you?
You know what, Don?
The shirt's not even clean. It's like tattletale gray. It's awful.
What do you mean it's not clean?
It doesn't look clean.
It's fresh. This is a gray colored T-shirt. It's just this
oh,
the
it's
color
gray.
Of the
okay.
shirt.
Are Don, there pit stains? Lift up your arm.
There's no pit stains.
How far have we come, Don, where Flip was demanding that everybody wear a collar? Now he's saying it's unbelievable.
But can we also just call Peter out? I've been working. I'm the first voice of this radio station.
Sure, you are.
Right? You'll always be the first.
I was the first hire. We've never had. It's never been discussed. A casual Friday.
Oh,
it's
I was
not
just,
a thing.
Thank you for saying that.
It's
he brings
not
it up
thing.
Like it's a thing. It's not a thing.
It's a thing in some company. It's not a thing here. You just completely invented it. It's Friday. You made it casual Friday, but it doesn't exist.
Listen, I really tried most days to put together something nice. Sport coat, you know, a collar shirt.
Right. Today you didn't try.
On Friday, I like to think the weekend's here. Our listeners are relaxing. Everyone's on their way home. I'm in a better zone wearing this WCW Nitro T-shirt. I feel better. They get a better me today. So it's a win for everybody.
It's a night shirt. Let's be honest. That's something you should wear to bed.
Right. That's something your girlfriend's going to curl up in, you know, when she goes to bed. That's ridiculous to
wear. All
right,
fine.
On the air.
Fine. I'll change shirts during the commercial.
No. You've already broke the Rubicon.
You've said enough.
It.
I didn't say what I'm going to change into, but I'm going to change during the commercial.
Now, the real M. Lee just tweeted his wife. He tweeted a video. His wife is in labor.
Wow.
And they've got the show on.
Good for them.
Wife's in labor. We still got to tune into the Michael K. show. And he said, I think our right. second son is coming before the Mets play again.
It's a great point.
So the first thing that baby's going to see is that jacket.
Or Peter's shirt.
Or Peter's shirt.
Peter's T-shirt. What do you think is going to, like, damage the child more, my Burberry-inspired jacket or Peter's tattletale gray WCW Monday Nitro shirt? Also, are you wearing a shirt for a competing wrestling company than the one you work for?
No. Vince bought this company.
Oh, okay. So you
But it's also
that
on
through.
A network we're competing against.
Turner?
That's true. Yeah.
Well,
that's a good point. By the way, did you guys hear that? Talk about a guy who knows how to make his dreams happen. The new voice of a Friday Night SmackDown is our own Pat McAfee.
Really?
Yeah. They moved Corey Graves to Monday Night Raw, and now McAfee slides into that chair with Michael Cole on Friday Night SmackDown, which is on Fox.
Well, he's not our own. He doesn't work for ESPN anymore.
He's gone altogether?
He just does a podcast, right?
Yeah, but I think, doesn't he still do college football-related stuff?
That I don't know.
But either way, this guy has really, I mean, he has carved out some, and listen, I've carved out a hell of a career, don't get me wrong, I'm proud of myself. But man, he has really made one thing happen after another.
Good for him. You know, it's time now for Diamond Notes on the Michael K. Show, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So, a lot of people have asked me, and even Andrew asked me earlier, when should Yankee fans start to get a little bit nervous that, you know, they're 5-7 and they're starting a 3-game set tonight at the stadium against Tampa Bay? And I started to give it some major thought. I said, well, when should they get nervous? And in looking at the standings, I don't think that they should be nervous right now. So let me give you some numbers. So the Yankees are 5-7. Below them, Tampa Bay is 5-8. Now, that's the defending American League champion. The first place team is Boston, 9-4. If I still have to be proved that Boston is for real. I just don't think so. If they are, good for them, but I don't see it. Toronto, 6-7. Now let's look around the major leagues. White Sox, some consider them the best team in the American League, if not the Yankees, 6-7. Who's leading the West? Seattle, 8-5. Now let's go to the National League. The Mets are 5-3. They lead the National League East. Philadelphia is 6-6. Atlanta's 5-8. Washington's 3-7. Let's go to the Central. St. Louis is 6-6. The Cubs are 5-7. Cincinnati leads the Central at 7-5. And then there's the West. The Dodgers are running away with it. The Yankees have no concern about the Dodgers until October. The Dodgers are 11-2, and they start a series tonight against San Diego. Giants are 8-4. San Diego's 9-5. Arizona 5-8. Colorado 3-10. And what I'm trying to point out to everybody, everybody's gotten off slowly, except for the Dodgers. Even the teams that are leading, now the Red Sox have not gotten off slowly. That's a nice start, but again, I'm not that concerned about them. There are some things about the Yankees that are concerning to me. They're not playing crisp baseball. They're not running base as well. Their defense is somewhat shoddy, but their offense doesn't concern me because if they don't hit, then I don't know baseball. Because I think they're going to hit, and I think they're going to hit a lot, and I think they're going to hit home runs, and they'll score. I've told you over and over, everybody, you want to get nervous about the starters after Cole. Somebody gave me, you know, you ever hear that saying, spawn insane and pray for rain?
Yeah.
Somebody said Garrett Cole and then a sinkhole. I mean, there's not much after Garrett Cole. Now, Corey Kluber, I thought his stuff was good, but he doesn't give them length, and his command's not perfect. Jameson Taillon, I thought his stuff was pretty good. He's not giving them length. These are works in progress. Jordan Montgomery, I think, is going to be good for them. And today they have to go with an opener. They're going to go with Nick Nelson, and then they're going to follow him up with Michael King, who after six shutout innings in relief was sent down to the alternate site. So without Domingo Germán, they don't even have a fifth starter. If you want to worry about that, yeah, I would say that's a concern. But please don't worry about the offense. I think that's going to happen. And I think they somehow have to snap into some sort of focus where they're not a bad base running team. They shouldn't play with their head up their butt, but it seems like they're doing it. I think they'll snap out of that, and I think they'll be okay. This is going to be an interesting weekend, Don, because one of these two teams is going to lose this series and then really wonder, are we off to a bad start? But what I would tell everybody, it's still just 12 games.
I know.
No one's been buried. Now, you can lose, like – like when the Tigers started off 35-5 in 1984, bottom line is they won the division in their first 40 games. They won the league. But I don't think anybody in baseball now is running away with anything. I think there are teams with a lot of flaws. I think people are playing through still overriding in their mind as a pandemic and staying safe, and you've got masks on and a limited capacity in ballparks. Everything is still a little hinky, so I'm not worried at this point. I'd like to see them play better, Don, but I'm not worried.
I know, but it kind of you kind of took the fun out of it all. You know, I mean, Yankee fans are passionate. They watch every game, and they don't like what they're seeing.
And they shouldn't.
And so you tell them not to be concerned, don't worry about it. What you're kind of de facto saying is these games don't have a lot of meaning. There's so many of them that you can get off to a bad start. The 1-4 Yankees at the time broke the record for wins in a season.
Mm-hmm.
But these fans are invested, and also they're looking at things differently than a Ray fan. Like, a Ray fan wants to win a championship. They went to the World Series last year. But I think a Ray fan understands that that's not, like, gifted to them every year. So but a Yankee fan feels like, yeah, I'm not concerned about making the playoffs. We make the playoffs every year. They're concerned that come October – this is what this team is going to look like, and they're not going to win a championship. So what I would tell them is, you know, even if you guys had won every game in the regular season, you can't answer the October question until we get to October.
Right.
Like, you're concerned about, well, God, this is why they don't win a World Series, Don, because they don't hit in clutch situations. They have poor base running decisions. Their defense isn't strong. That's going to kill us in October, Don. I agree. But if you were 10-0, you'd still be concerned about it because you won 203 games before the pandemic and didn't go to the World Series. So I'm not sure that there's anything that's going to happen that's going to answer any questions come October.
Well, that's a
so
good
that's
way to
that's
look at
the
it.
Angle you should look at it. Like, be worried and be aggravated, but you're not answering anything until we get to October.
Perfectly said. So I guess what I think there are Yankee fans out there that are concerned about this team making the playoffs, that they've gotten off to such a bad start, and I think that's just foolhardy. This team is an outstanding offense, and they will get on track. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to deal with a playoff situation with one starting pitcher, that remains to be seen. I mean, maybe Kluber finds it. Maybe Tyone finds it after all these, last couple of years of rust. Maybe Severino comes up and is the old Severino, and that allays some of your fears. But right now, I'm just talking to the people that are worried about this team making the playoffs. I wouldn't worry. If they don't make the playoffs, I'd be shocked.
Cool.
I don't think that's in their future, not making the playoffs. I still think they're going to win the division, Don.
And also, you're the New York Yankees. So if they gank the playoffs and you're concerned about the pitching, then by the time they get to the deadline, they'll find somebody, right? They'll make a deal bring in someone that will be better than Kluber, better than Tyone, better than Garcia, better than Montgomery. They're equipped to solve these situations when we get to the deadline. The Rays may not be. But if it really is that big of a concern that it's, coal in a sinkhole, then by the deadline, Michael, they'll address it.
But then you also have the concern about they don't want to go over 210, which is the way this team was built. You know, everybody's like criticized, well, they didn't make a lot of moves. Well, the marching orders was get under the threshold. They spent $260 million in payroll last year, and they lost to a team with a $60 million payroll. And they said, okay, let's reset the luxury tax. They still have a very high payroll. But I don't think they're going to want to go over it, because they would have been built differently. If all of a sudden Hal Steinbrenner decides, okay, let's go past it, then everything that you did to build the team was for naught.
But why does every acquisition at the deadline have to be some ace on a staff making tons of money?
No, that's true. Well, they have to find a diamond in the rough.
Why can't – and that's the thing that would infuriate me if I'm a Yankee fan. That's the thing they don't do. You know, they don't have the history of turning around the careers of Verlander and Cole, right?
True.
Verlander, I remember it at the time, Michael. We were like, what's Verlander going to do in Houston? Did you watch him in Detroit? He doesn't seem to be the same pitcher. Bang, all of a sudden he's a Cy Young guy again, because they corrected whatever mistakes were made, and they made him a better pitcher. They made Cole a better pitcher. You know, when are they going to do that? You know, when are they going to get, like tonight, when are they going to get a Michael Wacha and turn him into a really good pitcher?
Well, let's see. Rays haven't done that yet, and the Mets didn't do it last year. But
I'm just,
yeah, I know
it's on
saying.
The screen. I'm just talking about an arbitrary guy that you don't think of, a Colin McHugh, and bring him. You know, I'm just saying some pitcher that you don't. When you make the acquisition, you're like, oh, I didn't know that was anybody, and then he helps you win. Like from a bullpen standpoint, you know what the big acquisition for the Mets in 2015. Addison Reed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who is Addison Reed? And Reed been since then?
They need an Aaron Small, the guy that won 10-0 for them.
Right. Bring in a guy. Hey, it didn't work out, Michael, in the postseason. But what was Jay Happ when they got him? He was 7-0 in the regular season when they acquired him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. Now, he didn't do the job in the postseason because he was brought to beat the Red Sox and didn't do it. But you know what I mean? Find somebody that when you make the deal – the casual baseball fan's going to say, I don't know who that is. And then after five starts, you go, thank God we got him. It's time that they start doing that.
Well, I believe that one of the few criticisms that are valid about the Yankees, they have not developed starting pitching. And the pitching that they have acquired, the Sonny Grays, the James Paxtons, the Michael Pinedas, they haven't worked out the way they thought they would. So I'm sure they're hoping that Tyone works out and that signing Kluber. Now, Kluber can't be looked at as a bargain basement signing. I mean, they're paying $13 million for him. And a lot of people say, well, they should have brought back Tanaka. Well, Tanaka's on the IL in Japan with a calf injury, so you never know what would have happened here. But we'll see. We'll see. That's the only area of concern, and I have not yet soured on Kluber and Tyone. I think that they can be good, and I think it's going to take a while for them to get sharp. They haven't pitched in so long. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by 2x London. The Engagement Shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2x London at the Americana Manhasset. Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. I never want to mispronounce anything when it comes to Two by London, because I love those people. Love those people.
They're your people.
See ya!
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
See ya. You know the sounder. Later in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening to the KCAS sounder and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $500 cash. Why? Because we're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 total in the month of April. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Let's hear it again. See ya! See ya! See ya! Yeah. Yeah.
As every day goes on.
You hate it more.
Brought so much joy that we bring money to our listeners every day in the 2 o'clock hour, and yet I hate that audio so much.
Yeah, but people know when it's played, it's time to dial.
Don, I will literally never resign. You will have to fire me.
Can I just throw something out here, Don?
Please.
Our show, what's one of the main things on this show that is part of the fabric of the show that if you're a real fan, you appreciate and you notice?
There's so many things.
This is celebrated particularly a lot on this show.
Your brilliance.
Turning mistakes into drops?
That's right.
And there were two of them just now with Michael.
And we have an endless array of them, including ones where Michael talks about money. Why isn't one of those the sounder? Why is it just him going, see ya, see ya, see ya? It's like the Michael K. Bot 2000.
By the way, that's coming out at Target very shortly.
The K-Bot 2000?
Yeah, the K-Bot 2000. See ya! See ya.
It should be, you know what it should be, Don? I love the touch of, I love the smell of money, whatever he says. Touch of money or smell of money?
No, smell.
Smell. I don't like the touch of money. It's disgusting. There's filthy germs on it.
What about brand
I make out with money. I love it so much. That would be a good way to. But you know what? You're not in production, Peter.
Should be.
He'd make a heck of an imaging director. He would.
Well, the guy we have now is awful, so.
No.
Oh, my God.
You know, earlier in the week, Bennett, his daughter, turned two.
I saw that. Yeah, she's adorable. Thank goodness she looks like her mom.
God, Brownshire pulling his wife and having his family in life is one of the great
Great upsets. It's like Don being in the business.
It's
at that level.
But I do well.
It's real-life honeymooners or King of Queens, too, right?
Excellent point. I mean,
if that was a sitcom, you'd be like, we got to recast this. Nobody's going to believe this.
Yeah, he's built like a melted candle, and he got a beautiful wife and a gorgeous daughter. It just doesn't make sense.
He's got more hair on his face than his head.
Yep. Yeah. Well, so do I, but it's at least close for me.
Well, you have more. He doesn't have as much hair on his arms as you do. Yours is unsettling.
Thank you. Well, I think you meant in a good way.
No, it's not.
Why are you worried about my arm hair, you weirdo? But, I mean, Brownshire, it's tremendous. He sits around watching fish, you know. He's a St. Louis Cardinals fan. He's repug, and he's put together
talented.
Such a life. He is talented.
Wow.
Although that rap song he did for the K show at 2 o'clock, that I don't know if that was a great example of his talent.
Hey, Andrew, I'm seeing something on Twitter. Is this true that the other Boeheim kid is transferring to Syracuse?
I hadn't seen that yet. I knew that he had announced that he was transferring away from Cornell, and Syracuse was the top target.
Yeah,
is it official?
Mark Kestisher just tweeted out the transfer portal delivering a Boeheim on-court reunion.
Cornell transfer Jimmy Boeheim has committed to Syracuse.
I love it. How great is that? Well, it's going to be a Boeheim party next year, huh?
Wait, Andrew, Buddy was a junior this year?
Yes.
Wow. Boeheim mania running wild, brother.
Why not?
The nose picking of the cinch is going to be going on.
The kids don't do that, okay?
They have
to. It's the dad. The kids don't. Goodness, don't paint everybody with the same broad pick. 1-800-919-3776 is the number. We'll talk to you about your Yankee worries as they will begin a three-game set against the Rays. The Mets are rained out, snowed out, colded out in Colorado tonight. That's already been announced, so a doubleheader tomorrow. So we've got your attention. All good to go. We're giving away $500 by the end of this hour. And even better news, Fridays in April, the Yankee games start at 7. So you get the full K today, right until the end of ENN.
Beautiful.
How great is that, right?
Amazing.
I admire them continuing to make the mistake, not admitting wrong. That's classy.
What do you mean?
Because the 6:30 is just it's just a really bad idea. Whoever came up with that idea is the one guy that never had an idea, and they don't want to discourage freedom of thought, and said, you know what, we're gonna take a hit on this, but you know the kid tried, so let's keep doing it.
You might be insulting a very powerful person right now. Do you have any idea? I'm sure that they did like surveys and stuff like that, and I think the reason they're starting games at 6:30 is that people could get home sooner if they go to a night game and during the day, during the night, or during weekdays in April. Now, on Friday, they don't have to worry about that because there's no jobs on Saturday. Well, there's no, you know, Monday through Friday jobs on. I think you just insulted somebody very important.
I can have an opinion.
No, I know you can. You can. They can have an opinion. The
last time Don insulted someone affiliated with the Yankees, we ended up calling a spring training game right afterwards.
Don't talk to me that way.
Well, when I was a kid growing up, the game started at 8. So, I mean, it has evolved to this time frame.
6:30 is weird. It doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for television ratings, I'll tell you that.
No, and it doesn't save that much time. Where it really
saves
costs
a half hour.
I know, but I just feel like it's hard for people to get out of the city and make it to the stadium on time for a 6:30 first pitch. The beauty of baseball is you can always leave early.
And miss the ending?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, T-shirt boy, we have to break. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael Kay Show now at 2 p.m.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, this is exciting. We first congratulate, I hope I get the name right, Rob Leshinsky from Pompton Plains. He's $500 richer because he listened to the 2 o'clock hour of the K-Show. He won today's K-Cash. Rob Leshinsky. Robbie, good for you.
That's right down the street from Pequannock, where Derek Jeter was born.
Look at you. Look at you. And then the Jeters moved to Michigan. But he'll
always
be in
New Jersey. If I'm not mistaken, correct?
Excuse me?
Kalamazoo, if
Kalamazoo.
I'm not mistaken.
Look at you. You're amazing. William Hill, the sports book, has released their pro football regular season win totals. Now, have either of you guys seen this?
I glanced at it.
Okay.
So I'm exempt now.
No, don't be exempt. Because,
I'm not. I have not seen it.
One thing that, of course, you do no prep work.
Excuse me?
Nothing. That was my out loud voice. I'm so sorry. Giants and the Jets. So the Jets, their regular season win total by William Hill is 6. Now, remember, there's 17 games this year.
That's not what you want.
So 6-11. But, I mean, with a rookie quarterback that doesn't even shave yet from what I've heard, 6 wins can be a lot. I mean, I hope it's more. But 6 wins, I understand. But what do you think the number is on the Giants, Peter?
If the Jets are 6-11, then I'm hoping. I'm gonna just do what I believe it should be, and that's 9-8.
The Giants' regular season win total is 7. And I will tell you this. If the Giants finish 7-10, Dave Gettleman's fired. I mean, forget about this slow boil, okay? It's time to get wins. And when Mara and Tisch spent the money that they spent on free agents, Don, 7 wins ain't going to cut it. I'm sorry, it's not.
He wouldn't do it because he's too savvy to do it. So he would never come out and say, we have to make the playoffs. Like John Mara even said, I'm not going to go that far. But everything he said around that was that they got to make the playoffs, right? They spent all this money. It's time to start winning. It's been a long time. He's compared this era to back between the championship appearances or the playoff appearances between 64 and 80. The worst stretch in the history of Giants football. That's where we are right now. One playoff appearance in the last decade. And one and done, by the way, in 2016. So you spend all this money on free agents. Exactly what you need. You believe, you've gone on record saying, we have the quarterback. We're not interested in trading for Deshaun Watson. We're not interested in moving up in the draft. we have our quarterback, then other than catastrophic injury, Michael, how do you sit there and win seven games?
Can't. You can't.
You'd improve by one game? One improvement? Oh, by the way, you're getting Barkley back? And you improve by one game? And also, with a 17-game schedule, you're really not improving because all you would have done is won the extra game they gave you. No, no, no. That would be a disaster. A disaster.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the Giants and on Joe Judge, but particularly on Dave Gettleman because, you know, he spent a lot of money. Now, here are the top numbers that William Hill has. The Bills are at 10.5. The Browns are at 10. The highest win total in the NFC East is the Cowboys at 9.5. Packers at 11. The Colts with Carson Wentz, they've jumped to 10. The Chiefs are at 12. Now, what would you say your Washington football team is, Peter?
For ranking or win total?
Win total.
10.
They have them at 8.
So, is anyone going to win any games?
So, they have 9.5 for the Cowboys, 8 for the Washington
football
team.
It never ends with the Cowboys. I'm so done.
But you have to understand, they have such rabid fans that that's what a book is doing. They want to have those people bet. So, they're putting a number because those people see the Cowboys through star-colored glasses.
And listen, I respect the Cowboys because I think they got the best quarterback in the division, and I think they have weapons.
Well paid, too.
But there isn't anybody who believes they're winning this division. Like I was listening to Greeny before. He thinks they're going to finish. They're going to battle Philadelphia for last.
That's crazy.
Last place could be, you know, a 7-10 team. And Peter, you're so right. You've taken my entire life and just thrown it upside down when it comes to football. These numbers don't make any sense.
It doesn't even mean anything.
It doesn't.
When you say 7-9, when you say 6-10, you have an exact connotation in your head, if you're a football fan, for what that means about your season.
Right.
And now that's just off, and it's going to take a few years for us to understand what those degrees mean now.
Yeah, 7-10, it's a weird number. But the consensus seems to be that Washington, because of their defense, and I believe in an upgraded quarterback, but I think there's a mishmash. I could totally see the Giants being involved in this thing, and I don't think Dallas is going to finish in last place. I think Philadelphia, with the situation that they're in, is probably the fourth-place team in this division, but they're still a tough team to play. These are all rivalries. But
if Mike McCarthy finishes last with the Cowboys, he's fired.
No, I think there's a very good possibility.
Jerry Jones is getting up there in years. You think he wants a long rebuild?
They already changed the defensive coordinator. I mean, really, he's got to win. But I'm going to throw this out, Michael. If they go 7-10, well, then we got to kind of reevaluate Joe Judge. Now, again, Daniel Jones gets hurt. Barkley gets hurt. I mean, listen, we got to review it. But if you tell me that this team just finishes 7-10 next year with all the additions, then Gettleman's probably gone because I can't imagine them winning just seven games if Daniel Jones plays well. He's got weapons.
And if he doesn't play well, that's on Gettleman because he picked them.
Yeah, you didn't get the right guys. You didn't draft the right guys. You didn't get the right guys in free agency.
Now, how about this? Chris Canty on DCR, you could hear them every Monday through Friday from 5 to 8 in the morning right here on 98.7. He said that Gettleman has done a bad job. And I think that Gettleman's done a good job, but here's what Chris said.
Drafting players and projecting what guys will be, knowing what their ceilings are, knowing what their floors are, and how they're going to fit into your locker room, and how they're going to adjust to the step up in competition, that's where the real work is done if you're a general manager. And Dave Gettleman hasn't been good at his job. There's nothing wrong with coming out and saying that. You can still be a fan of the Giants and acknowledge that their general manager needs to be better. Hell, the owner is doing it. I don't understand why the fans want to live in this delusional reality. Dave Gettleman is not a good GM.
Strong.
Love
Very
it.
Strong.
Love hearing that.
But I want examples. All right, he's not a good GM. Why? Because he drafted Barkley? Because he gave Solder all that money? Those were mistakes that I believe he made. But when you take a look at this team, I think he's done very well at the bottom of the draft, right? Slayton is a guy that's actually a really good wide receiver. They took him in the fifth round.
Well, you know, I guess the free agent signings are troubling. I mean, Solder wasn't bad. Golden Tate was an overpay, and now he's gone. The offensive line, he hasn't really reconfigured it that well.
Well, it's 1 year with Thomas, right? Can we wait and see before we call him a bust?
No, I mean the whole offensive line, not just Thomas.
Yeah, well, but, you know, but he didn't draft all of those guys in the offensive line. But I think where was Lemieux taken? Because I think he actually did a pretty decent job as a backup offensive lineman. I terrible at his job. I got to take exception. I don't think it's terrible. Now, again, if you're upset about Solder signing, if you're upset about the decisions that were made when they were trying to squeeze another one out of Eli, I can't argue. But it sounded to me like Chris was specifically talking about the draft. Do you think he's done a terrible job with the draft?
No, but at the end of this year, we could say he's done a bad job if Jones is not good and Barkley doesn't have a good season.
But I don't know off the top of my head how Chris feels about Jones. But if you believe Jones is going to be a good quarterback, that's credit to Gettleman for taking him six overall. I mean, he went and got Bradberry, right? He's a very good player. When you look
but he
at
also
that,
drafted the guy that they had to release.
Well, I mean, if you want to kill him for not knowing the quality of person he was, but from a strict football standpoint, it wasn't awful, but right. You're right. I mean, you've got to know that. Blake Martinez was a free agent signing. I mean, he had a good season last year. Will Hernandez, it's still a work in progress. You want to say that was a bad pick. I guess I can live with that.
And the
Logan
Leonard
Ryan,
Williams
I thought,
trade,
was a great
Leonard
acquisition.
Williams trade ended up being great for them.
Who?
Leonard Williams.
Well, listen, Leonard Williams, he gets
to be
credit
great. I thought it was awful when he did it. It turned out to be great.
Picking up Logan Ryan, I think, was great. He got Peppers in the deal for Odell Beckham Jr. And so when you look at that secondary, it's been good. Like I said, Darius Slayton was a fifth-round pick. I'm just kind of going over their roster because there's a few guys that, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where I thought that they had a lot of guys that were actually playing that were late-round picks. So if you want to say he missed on Hernandez, who was a second-round pick, you want to say that he missed on Thomas, who was a first-round pick, didn't have a great rookie year, but I'm not going to grade him on 1 year. Hey, you want to say jury's out, you want to give him a C? Terrible job? No. Not with the draft.
All right, before we go to the calls, let me give you some other numbers. Titans, 9.5 wins. Buccaneers, 11.5. Seahawks, still 10. They still respect Russell. 49ers, 10. Steelers, 9. The Saints, 9.5. I'm going to know who their quarterback's going to be. So that's a total respect to the coach number.
This
Vikings
seems
eight
a little
and a half.
Premature.
It is a little bit.
I mean, we haven't even hit the draft yet.
Yeah, it's like when Rex said we're going to win before the Jets draft. The Chargers, 9. A little curious.
I mean, I guess they believe that they're really going the right direction with the quarterback there.
Ravens, 11. Bills, 10.5, as I said. Cowboys, 9.5. And the Colts, 10, and the Chiefs, 12.
Now,
so the Chiefs have the most wins.
The Chargers, they lost, Peter, remember, they lost so many close games.
Ton. They almost tried to lose. Their coach was almost trying to lose a game.
You know, upgraded coach, upgrade, you know, Herbert coming into his second year. 9's a little strong, but I don't think it's...
I mean, is it though, Don, for 17?
Well,
that's barely over 500.
But Peter, you got $100 to throw down. Are you going to bet the over or the under? Because it's an over under, right? So
yeah, that's.
So am I going to bet they're going to win 10 games? That's a bit of a stretch, 10. But it's interesting. Would you bet that they're going to go 10-7? Look, I'm starting to pick it up already.
There you go, Don. You're figuring it out.
Oh, and by the way, too, how long do you think we're at 17 and not 18? A year?
It'll happen shortly. It'll be 20 by the time we're dead. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I tease this. I do want to pay it off. Dwayne Wade has taken an ownership stake in the Utah Jazz. So that young man that bought the Jazz, Ryan Smith, I guess Dwayne has a relationship with him, and he bought an ownership stake. That's great. That's great to see. And he said he's going to be, you know, a real part of it in the decision-making process.
So. And I would guess Anthony Edwards is familiar with Dwayne Wade's work.
I would hope, right?
You'd think so.
And now, not only does A-Rod get disrespected by Anthony Edwards, but they announced on the Today Show that he and J-Lo, it's over. I mean, what hope is there for everybody else when those two kids can't make it?
Well, you saw that coming, right? Because I guess the reports were about a couple of months ago. They denied it. But you got a sense that they did everything they could. They're really up against it, Michael.
But they're still friends, and that's important. Let's go to Nick in East Islip. What's up, Nicky?
What's up, boys? I'm stuck on the belt right now. Get me out of here.
We'll try to entertain anyway. You. I don't know if we can airlift you, but we'll entertain you.
Anyway, I was wanted to talk about the Giants. Pete, you're 100% right. I'm tired of the Cowboys getting the benefit of the doubt with this William Hill 9.5. I mean, their defense is atrocious. And, you know, I'm a diehard Giants fan, so I can't see them winning 7 games or less with a healthy Saquon Barkley adding to the defense. I mean, it's just, if they do get 7 wins, I also don't believe that Joe Judge's job is going to have to be reviewed, because besides Barkley and Slayton when he's playing well and Bradbury, Joe Judge is our bright spot there. So I feel like with these signings, I'm going to take that bet. I'm going to take over.
Right.
I don't know about you guys. What do you guys think?
Well, here's the beauty of the over-under. If you feel that strongly about the Cowboys, then bet heavy, the under, on that 9.5. But, Nick, I didn't say Joe Judge would be fired. I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek kidding with Michael about, you know, you can't stop talking about him going to the Hall of Fame.
I will
you
not.
You go out getting these players, Michael, and then you end up not improving. That's going to be a bad reflection on him. I'm not going to give up on him, but it would be time to just say, oh, listen, the jury's out, I guess. Isn't that fair?
I think they'll take a closer look. But remember, if you're blaming Dave Gettleman, he can just do what the players with Dave Gettleman has provided him with. So maybe you recalibrate then. But that's what always makes me nervous. When you bring in a new coach, you should bring in a GM, and they should be tied together. The Jets have messed that up for the last 4 rounds. 4 rounds. They finally got it right. Joe Douglas brought in Robert Saleh. But first he inherited Adam Gase. It's dumb. It's dumb. Because that means overlap. You get rid of one, you're going to keep the other one to give him another chance. And then they're going to bring in a coach. And if that doesn't work out, he's going to go. And then you're going to bring in – it's a never-ending cesspool. That's what it is. Let's go to Rob in Red Bank. Robbie.
Hey, Don. I have one question for Don here. It's, besides the Bradbury and Blake Martinez move, what has Gettleman actually done to even keep this job? Every move he's made, the Odell trade, getting nothing for Landon Collins.
I'm not saying he's done a terrific job, but I don't think he's done an awful job. But again, the difference between you and me, Rob, I don't kill him for the Solder and the Barkley pick, because I think he was under orders to try to win now. But
agreed,
you look
agreed.
At that Odell trade. What was wrong with the Odell trade? I mean, I think Peppers has been good. Odell can't stay on the field in Cleveland.
We had to cut Zeiler because he refuses to restructure, and, like, you know, he hates kicking the can down the road, but, like,
well, that's probably
like
organizational too, Rob. But I think he's done a decent job in the draft. Has he done a decent job in the draft?
No, I mean, we don't know yet. Like you said, this is the year for Jones. We'll find out if he actually had a good draft. Because, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly about the Saquon pick. It wasn't his choice, and it was an absolutely awful pick and set us back a couple of years. But, I mean, Jones hasn't really blown anybody away. I mean, we had a few flashes in the pan, but, like, you know, we picked him at 6.
That I get. Let's judge this free agency. I mean, you say other than Blake Martinez and Logan Ryan, I mean, those were great pickups. I think, listen, did he overspend for Leonard Williams? But I think he's been vindicated there, because Williams is now a Pro Bowl caliber player who's getting to the quarterback, and he's theirs, and he got it done. So I can't say he's done a terrific job, Rob.
Sorry.
And if he ends up missing the playoffs this year, he's probably gone. But to say he's done a terrible or awful job, when you look at the amount of draft picks that started on defense for them, how, you know, and let's see how this offensive line works out, but he's found some gems. This secondary is all him. He went out and got Bradbury. He signed the other side. He traded for Peppers. He went out and got Logan Ryan.
But you would agree if they don't make the playoffs, then we're going to look at it and say he did a terrible job.
Well, because then that would have meant that this free agent class failed.
Right.
That the draft picks ended up being busts. So, yeah, that would end up having to be on him. And I'm totally okay if you want to say the jury's out on Gettleman. But for the caller, Rob, or for Chris Canty to say he's done a terrible job, when you see that there's draft picks that are playing on this team now, I don't think you could say he's done a terrible job. Where is the evidence that he's done a terrible job? Especially where Rob said that he was that agrees with me, he was under orders for the Solder and the Barkley pick. How has it been terrible? Has Jones been a bust? He may turn out to be. But I think you can't kill him for Jones. He's played okay, and I think he's a chance to get better. So the jury's out on Jones. I think the jury's out on Thomas and Hernandez. They just got picked.
Now, Giancarlo, Blueshirt 26, said, Giants traded back into the first round for DeAndre Baker. When they drafted Barkley at 2, they took Will Hernandez in the second round of that draft. The next pick was Nick Chubb. And Giancarlo said that was a terrible draft.
But we'll see. What if Will Hernandez ends up continuing to be a starter? Hey, I'm not fighting. See, why is it so black and white as he's done a terrific job or an awful job? I say the best you probably could say is the jury's out. But I've seen some good thing. But you cannot tell me it's been awful.
Well, here's how you know, Don, here's how you're right in that regard. And I'm no Gettleman fan. Because if next year Daniel Jones throws for 4,700 yards and 40 touchdowns, Gettleman's a genius. If Daniel Jones has another year like he had this last year, no real improvement whatsoever, that's a totally different conversation.
Well, yeah, because we're judging it on Jones. And I get it. When you take a quarterback 6 overall when nobody else even had him on the radar, he's going to be totally judged on Jones. But I'm just saying right now the jury's out on Jones, the jury's out on Hernandez, the jury's out on Thomas, but we've saw some things. He killed the Odell trade. Why are we killing the Odell trade? Odell hasn't done anything. You think anybody's prognosticating Cleveland to be great this year based on Odell Beckham Jr.'s talents? They went to the playoffs basically last year without him.
Yep. Let's take a quick timeout. Nick PR just put this out an hour or so ago. Alec Burks, health and safety protocol, out for tonight's game at Dallas, and Burks has been so good for them. 1-800-919-3776. More of your phone calls. And we'll also hear a couple of hot takes from important people about the Jets' presumptive second pick in the first round, Zach Wilson. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I don't know how many of you have seen this, but the story on the Post website right now, where they had a podcast where they talked to CeCe Sabathia, and he had said that when he retired, he wanted to look like The Rock. And there's a picture. I mean, it's amazing, Peter, the transformation that Sabathia has done and the hard work that it must be. He looks like a different human being. I give him such credit. That's not easy to do. And he's done it. I mean, he's got like muscle building definition in his arms. He's got like a V shape. I mean, God bless him. I mean, that's not easy to do.
You know what's just so weird, Michael?
Life.
Is that he needed to retire to have that happen.
Yeah, because he explains that. He said he just didn't have enough time between seasons to do this. And also, he didn't think that he was a good pitcher without the heavy weight.
And it's also hard to keep the weight off during a baseball season. Honestly, it's strange, right, Michael? They feed these guys a spread after every game on the plane, right? You're fed on the plane ride home, and it's tough. I mean, I remember – you remember Sid Fernandez? Sid Fernandez would come into spring training, Peter, like thin as a rail. And by the time he got to May, he'd be fat again. It's like, how did he get big during the course of his professional career? He did. He actually gained weight during the season. Because you can't work out as much because you got your whole regimen of getting ready to pitch every 5 days. And plus, all baseball players do is eat. I don't think Brady could be Brady if he was a baseball player.
Oh, I mean, there are baseball players that are in great shape. I mean, look at Giancarlo Stanton.
I mean, pitchers, too, unless you really make it your business to be working out all the time. I mean, it would be easy to gain weight during the course of a season.
But you've seen pictures of CeCe now, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's unbelievable. It's like it's a different person. And I applaud him for that. I really do. We have a guy who works in our station, Jake Montgomery, who sent out a tweet that gained such unbelievable traction with big names throughout the business.
Terrific.
And in short, the tweet was, give me one person that you would have liked to have seen have an injury-free career. I'm paraphrasing. I think he worded it better. I mean, and the biggest names in our business have answered that tweet. So good for Jake. And you know, I thought about it, and I didn't think very long and hard because there's one guy that I would have liked to have seen play injury-free, and I think that it would have been one of the great careers of all time, and that's Don Mattingly. And I said that, and Andrew called me Yankee boy, but you know, Mattingly for 5 years was about as good a player as that we've ever seen, and then his back gave out, and everything after that was a chore, so I don't think we ever saw the real Don Mattingly. Did you come up with one, Don?
I mean, I thought of Mattingly because, let's face it, he's a borderline Hall of Famer that would have been a slam dunk Hall of Famer.
Right.
And also, if you're a Yankee fan, they don't go out and get Tino Martinez, most likely. He might have been part of those four championships in 5 years, and then take a look at his legacy. Right?
Yep.
So it's amazing. But the other one, to me, that I think is a slam dunk is Bobby Orr.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr is looked upon as one of the great players of all time. Bobby Orr played injury-free at Jace for 9 years. And then 10 games, 20 games, 6 games, and he retired. He retired in 79 as basically a kid, still one of the great players of all time. He would have played another 6-7 years and maybe is Gretzky as a defenseman. And, Michael, there's pictures. Go look up on the internet. He's like Frankenstein's monster when they show his knees.
See, but that to me, that's a tough one to choose because he's one of the greatest hockey players who ever lived, even with the injuries.
I mean,
so
I would
you
say
just
that.
Wanted a longer stretch. I think Mattingly was robbed of the productivity of being one of the greatest baseball players. But I see where you're going, but he certainly wasn't robbed of his legacy because he's considered one of the greatest who ever played.
Both of you guys are wrong here, sadly.
All right, so what's yours, Petey?
There's only one right answer that is the answer, and that is Bo Jackson. That is it. There is no better athlete who we did not get to see what heights they would have reached on the level of Bo Jackson. Thank you. I'll take your silence as you know that's absolutely the number one answer. Family Feud, that's the number one answer.
Probably.
Right? I mean, we all lost it. He still was incredible when we saw him, but it was cut just so short. I mean, not that his baseball numbers aren't pretty impressive anyway, but certainly his football career completely lost, and his baseball career would have been better too.
Our good buddy Fooch from MSG said, how about Bernard King? I mean, there's a lot of people out there.
Bernard King, yeah, because I know what you're saying about Orr. I mean, he was 30 when he retired. 31. I mean, that's...
Well, Mattingly was 34 when he retired, which is really young for a baseball player.
But you start getting into a dangerous territory to me when you're talking about great players who could have been better. Because from my personal standpoint, I would argue that my two favorite athletes of all time, besides Mike Tyson, Larry Bird and Mario Lemieux, both could have had better careers if they weren't completely injury-plagued. But they're still two of the greatest who ever lived, so how much can you complain?
But Michael makes a great point, is that, you know, Bernard King... If he stays healthy, his numbers retired?
It's something he should be anyway. But even
right, but, I mean, but yeah. it's not even a conversation. And you know, Don Mattingly, he's in. Yeah, you know, if he hangs around for through those four championships in 5 years. No offense to Tino Martinez, I think Don Mattingly could probably done comparable, if not better, if he had been healthy. Then he's a part of forever as it is, but he's a slam dunk Hall of Famer, and he's in Monument Park.
Well, he is anyway.
Does he have a monument?
Well, he got to be dead to have a monument, but he's got a plaque and his number's retired.
Yeah, but will he have a monument?
I don't know. I don't want to think like that. Well, because I'm the same age as him. I don't want to think know, him
but,
not
but
being
I'm
on
saying,
earth.
Michael, is that you, with four rings and how many hits did he finish with?
He almost has the exact same numbers as Kirby Puckett, so
right.
About 2,000 hits.
All right, so if he plays another 4 or 5 years, Michael, maybe he gets 3,000 hits. And there's not even a question. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like Sandy Koufax, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Larry Bird, Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux. Yeah, maybe they play a little bit longer, have a few more stats. You know, you talk about like Ted Williams having to go away to the war, but he's still in the Hall of Fame. Same thing with Willie Mays. But a guy that's a borderline Hall of Famer is just now a slam dunk Hall of Famer. How is it not Bo Jackson? How is it not Don Mattingly? Like Bo Jackson was, what, 28 when he injured his hip?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he would have eventually had to choose a sport. But if he stays in football.
But how wild is it, Michael? I'm glad you mentioned Bernard King. Bernard King averaged 33 points a game in 84-85. In 85-86, he misses the whole year. And then he hovers around as a pretty good player, a good player for the next 4 years. But then, guys, in 90-91, and I remember this so well because growing up in D.C., in 90-91, he averages 28 points a game and is third in the league in scoring behind Jordan and Karl Malone. The next year, completely misses the year again based on injury. I mean, he's a 30 for 30 how good he could have been without the injuries.
Another one that you could put out there, too, is Namath.
Yeah.
I mean, it, when Namath hurt his knee in Alabama and still became a Hall of Famer in the NFL, but he used to be able to run like a deer.
Yeah.
Imagine
he would have
if
had,
you
a
had
better,
that Namath in the NFL.
He would have had a better career, but he's in the Hall. You know, Bernard King is in the Hall. But I know you were accused of being Yankee boy, Michael, but Don Mattingly's not for that reason.
Right.
So who else is someone that would have been a slam dunk Hall of Famer, but he's not because of the injuries? And Don Mattingly jumps to mind for me.
I think Andrew had one. Andrew's was Grant Hill. And you mentioned
Grant Hill's.
That you might have said, you know, inadvertently. Sandy Koufax is one of the greatest pitchers who's ever lived, but, I mean, imagine how – I think he retired at 30.
Yeah. But he's in the Hall, and he's still considered, you know,
right.
Great. But I don't – does Don Mattingly's name resonate outside of New York? You know, do people appreciate his greatness? Probably not, because they didn't see him in the postseason.
But Don Mattingly at that time was still like one of the names in all of baseball.
But
sure.
But he did that with those five otherworldly years. But once he got hurt, he was not looked at as an elite player. He just wasn't.
You got to mention Andrew Luck at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, his career's over. And this is a guy who, had he been protected and healthy, we have no idea how good he would have been.
All right, let's
great topic, really is.
Let's let everybody think about it. You can certainly call in and give us your take. The K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, still a lot to do. I'm looking forward to talking to Herb Street at 5 o'clock, asking about all these college quarterbacks. But let's get to the phones. Let's go to Kyle in New Jersey. Kyle, talk to us.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
before I get right into that, I just want to say, Don, I like you holding your own and not meaning too much into not getting that four-hour hockey spot. I'm a big fan. I'm not a big hockey guy, but I think I like Dave, but I do think you might have been a better fit, but you did good in holding your own. You're still a happy guy. I like it.
Yeah, very happy. Thanks, Kyle.
I would say when it comes to someone that's been injured, I think that Derrick Rose should be a huge argument. I still think he's the youngest ever MVP in NBA history. You might see it sometimes. Aaron Judge was up for it when he lost to Altuve. But for him to be, I think it was his sophomore, maybe his third season, the guy gets an MVP and riddled by injury his entire career, went up against the Miami Heat, who were a newly found powerhouse, and he led them to the best record in the East and was able to get them into the playoffs, was up, I think, 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals against that team. Derrick Rose, I think, is a huge guy that got misunderstood.
That's a great call. And, you know, it's funny because Thibodeau might have gotten that team into the finals. But, you know, Rose got hurt, and he's never really been the same. He's carved out a nice career, but I think he had an all-time great career if he stays healthy. Let's go to Akil in Albany. Akil?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm listening to the conversation, and I know that there's been this mention already, but I just want to really point out, Grant Hill was spoken about as the heir apparent to Michael Jordan when he came out of college. I mean, this guy had everything. He could shoot. He had explosiveness. He played defense. He could rebound. He could pass the ball. If it weren't for the injuries that set him back, although he had a pretty good career, if those injuries didn't set him back, he could have been literally top two, top three players of all time in the NBA.
Well, he was certainly thought of in that way, and the injuries did derail him for sure. So that's another good one. Let's go to Jimmy in New Jersey. Jimmy.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I had 2 points, if I may.
Okay.
First one is Ken Griffey Jr. I can't believe he hasn't been brought up yet. I grew up with Ken Griffey Jr. I know he's a Hall of Famer, but I think if he never gets hurt, there's a lot of talk about him being maybe the best baseball player of all time, if not in the top three, top five all time. He had every single tool. Once he left Seattle, he could never stay healthy, even when he was in Seattle, and he slowed down a lot towards the end of his career.
Yeah, but so much accomplished, though, right? I mean, over 600 home runs, Hall of Famer. I get what you're saying, but it wasn't like he didn't have...
Right, he had nagging injuries. He didn't have, like, a back like Mattingly or, you know, a bad arm like Koufax. I mean, he had nagging injuries. So, I mean, he's one of the best players of all time the way it is. I can't include him, Don.
No, I mean, he played from 1989 to 2010. Played over 20 years.
That's pretty good.
I think he did fine.
Now, maybe if he stayed healthy, he would have maybe – could he have maybe broken Aaron's record? You know, could he have done that? Maybe. But, God, the guy hit 630 home runs, Hall of Famer, had two decades. I mean, it's hard for me to say he really got robbed of anything.
Nah, I don't think he belongs on that list. Todd in L.A., Todd.
Thank you for letting me in. Yeah, thanks for letting me in and giving me the opportunity. Props to you, Michael. When I called in, I originally had Sandy Koufax. I've been listening all day to the assorted stations and hosts, and nobody really mentioned him, so thank you for bringing him up. I would just shift over to, for me, it's got to be Gail Sayers and O.J. Simpson. They were breathtaking running backs that had abbreviated careers because of injuries, and had they had their career fully extended without injury, which is really the topic, they both would have broken every record that was out there. And it was sad to see the two of them, what happened with their football careers because of their injuries, but just breathtaking running backs. Thanks
well,
for letting
I would
me
definitely,
in.
I would definitely agree with you on Sayers. You know, part of being a running back is you do get hurt. But Sayers was you know, debilitated to the point that he couldn't play. You know, O.J. Simpson had a pretty nice career, a great career. So I don't think that his career was, like, short and to the point that it wouldn't compare with another running back like Gale Sayers. Gale Sayers was breathtaking, and then his knees just gave out. He couldn't do it.
Yeah, and Simpson, you know, he went to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But, you know, he was done at 32. But that's kind of
– Right. Well, he wasn't robbed. Most running backs are at 32.
You know, yeah, it's – but, you know, he – again, nobody's going to cry for O.J. Simpson for anything. But, you know, 11 seasons in the NFL. Hey, but Michael, I think, really put it perfect when I brought up Bobby Orr. Yeah, obviously injuries robbed us of seeing – brilliance for a few more years. Same thing with Mario Lemieux. But you know, these guys still were able to carve out, you know, championships and Hall of Fame careers. But the guys that would have been, Mattingly would have been a Hall of Famer. One of the great Yankees of all. Think about that. Did you think he could have been on those four championships in 5 years? He was only, what, 34?
He was 34. He would have had to play till 30. He definitely would have been on a couple of them. But remember, if Mattingly doesn't retire, they don't make the trade with the Mariners. They don't make the trade with the Mariners. They don't get Jeff Nelson. Jeff Nelson played a huge part in those championships too. I think that, you know, Fuchs brings up another good one, Bill Walton.
Yeah.
Bill Walton was unbelievable at UCLA, and you know, his feet gave out, and he couldn't do it.
Don, how do we go this long and not mention Eric Lindros?
Yeah, the concussions. I mean, he's in the Hall. But clearly, he would have lived up to all the expectations of being one of the greats of all time if he didn't suffer all those concussions. Absolutely.
Am I biased in? Well, I know there'll be different arguments based on the way he played the game and whatnot. But considering what he did in 1 year, RG3 pops into my head too. I mean, I know he's now seen as whatever he's seen as, but we have no idea. This was a rookie of the year quarterback, and we'll have no idea what he would have become.
Another one that we haven't mentioned, and Jar from Oz points it out. You know, if you're going to bring up Mattingly, you got to bring up David Wright. Same deal.
Yeah.
David Wright could have been a Hall of Famer if his back didn't give out. I mean, the stenosis robbed him of an unbelievable career. He had to retire very, very early. Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, and that's why you can't kill the Mets for giving them the contract they gave him, because nobody saw that coming because he wasn't an old man.
Right. Absolutely. Let's go to Howard in Westchester. Howard.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but you know, my all-time greatest injured great who had a great career, long career, but I think his gifts were really stolen and could have been the best of all time was Mickey Mantle. I don't know if you mentioned him yet, but
no, we have not. And the reason we didn't mention him, Howard, is because you know he's still considered one of the greatest players who ever lived, but you know his numbers would have been unreachable. In all likelihood, if he never hurt his knee. So, but even through the knee and being wrapped up like a mummy every time he played, you know, he hit all those home runs and won all those championships and won a triple crown. So it's hard to sit here and say what could have been. Yeah, it would have been even greater. David Bonet gives us Sam Bowie. You know, his career was derailed.
Drafted before Jordan.
Yeah. Matt Harvey.
Matt Harvey's still trying to make it work, but clearly –
he's just getting started, guys. You believe you me.
And you know what else? Another one. Our very own, my good buddy, Rick DiPietro. Injuries robbed him of his career.
Now you never know. I mean, he's the first overall pick for a reason, and it's looked upon as a bust because he just couldn't do it. But, you know, there was a Sports Illustrated article about because the Devils had Brodeur, you know, the Rangers had Lundqvist, and the Islanders had DiPietro. And it was a big article about, you know, the three teams in the New York area having three of the best goaltenders because that's what DiPietro was going to be. And, yeah, clearly.
And Smarter Child on Twitter mentions Yao Ming, another great choice.
Oh,
so there's a lot.
Really good one,
very
too.
Good one.
Great job by Jake Montgomery, a thought-provoking tweet, not just trash and, you know, and trolling. That's a good job by Jake. And the whole world has gotten involved, so good job. When we get back, Kirk Herbstreit is going to talk college quarterbacks with us. This should be fun, so stick around. I think we'll ask some questions about Zach. Just saying.
Man,
I don't want to put questions in Peter and Don's mouth, but I think we'll ask about Zach Wilson right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
right, here on the Michael K. Show, we're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. That's the month we're in right now. Every weekday in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the KCast sounder. Be ready to call in to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. All right. I have not talked about this with Don. I'm not a man of violence.
No.
I'm a peace and love guy, just like Ringo. But if we were all in the studio and Peter asked the Washington football team question to Kirk Herbstreit, I would have punched him right in the face. I almost said to Anthony, cut his mic right now, cut his mic. Nobody in our listening audience cares who the Washington football team is going to pick with the 19th pick. It was unbelievable. It was selfish. It was self-centered. It was egomaniacal. Nobody cares, Don. Am I right or wrong?
Well, not only that, Michael, he's fishing. There was, like, no reason. Like, is there going to be a quarterback that's going to drop to 19? Even Kirk was like, I don't think he fully understood the question.
Nobody did.
It was completely forced.
You know what
you
it
should
was?
Be ashamed of yourself, Peter.
I mean, it's like the third
you
question
derailed the
in.
Question.
You know, Michael, you didn't like how it felt, did you?
What do you mean?
You didn't like the feeling that you felt when I did something like that. You felt like it was disrespectful.
And when did I ever do anything like that?
I think you did it. Let me think all the way back to Tuesday. Oh, yeah. It was Tuesday when you decided to attempt to bury me, to sabotage my entire career, to maybe have me ousted from this show, and ask the audience if they were happy that I was gone. Well, Michael, I sat like a snake in the grass, waiting for an opportunity to get under your skin in just the right way. And what would be that way? To ask a marquee guest like Kirk Herbstreit a question about the Washington football team. Although I will add, getting some information on the other quarterbacks available is not worthless information for someone who's interested
pick,
in the draft.
19th pick. And by the way, if you were trying to strike back at me for my fun poll that I had,
oh, was it
you
fun?
Ruined it for everybody listening. I think people throughout the tri-state area shut the radio off when they heard the third question to a great guest about the Washington football team. I threw up in my mouth. I think Don did too, but he's just not going to be as graphic.
No, I was disgusted by it.
Disgusted?
No, you even disclaimered the question. You knew it was wrong. Now, obviously, you have some fun at the end where Michael asked the Reds question. If you want to throw at the end, hey, just indulge me, I'm a Redskin fan, what could be there at 19 or whatever. But, like, we're back and forth, and we want to try to keep it Wilson heavy because the Jets have the number two pick.
I don't even know if I can do the rest of the show. I'm so sick.
Well, you know what
now.
I really wish we would do, and I would like to institute this. This has been talked about before. But when something is agreed upon by the other two members of the show as being as egregious as that, we should have a penalty box and you sit out the next segment.
No, how about the next week?
No.
Wow.
We can't trust him leading to the draft. Who cares? I don't give the letter after E about the Washington football team. I don't.
You know what, Don? You made some salient points there, I think. I think throwing in at the end might have been a better play. But, hey, what if Mac Jones goes to Washington and dominates the Giants for the next 6 years, 7 years?
Mac Jones is not going to last to 19th. You ruined the interview. I hope you're happy.
Oh, my God.
It
you
really
completely kicked it right in the groin. If the interview was an adult male, you kicked it right in the groin.
And if it didn't go down the toilet, it was just saved by us.
Hold on.
But really, hold this on. Could have you.
Wait, well, Don, maybe we're biased. Let's bring in the producer of the show, award-winning producer. Andrew, your thoughts when he asked that question?
I hated that it happened. You can ask Anthony. I audibly said out loud in the studio, wow, really? It was a low point on what has really been a great show.
Oh, yeah, it took it from an A show to a B-plus show. That one
really?
Question. Yeah.
No, we can't save the show now. Like the show was going to be really – it can't be great anymore.
Doug Desain just tweeted us, can Peter ask the next draft expert who Washington should take in the second round?
Anthony, play the music, please. I'd like to say something to you guys. I'm sorry about what happened in the last segment with Kirk Herbstreit. I've been nervous about what Washington's going to do with the 19th pick overall, considering they went and got Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't have a place to ask these questions to an expert of that level. It was selfish. It was self-serving. It was egocentric. And it was wrong. I'd like to deeply apologize and ask for your forgiveness moving forward.
Well, I hope you're asking the listeners, because I'm never going to give you forgiveness for that. Because sorry doesn't fix the lamp. Go to
Don,
the phones. I'm
no
so sick, Don. I'm so sick.
Listen, I'm going to forgive you because I love you.
Thanks.
But as far as saving the show, it's really we dropped the porcelain doll and it shattered. It's
can
gone.
Can I do anything?
Yeah.
In the
layout
next...
for the rest of the show. Layout. Don't even say a word. Andrew do ENN. Don likes it better when Andrew does it anyway.
That's a great point that you just made.
Andy in Oceanside. Andy, talk to us.
How are you, Don, Michael, Peter?
Hello.
This question is for Michael only.
Okay.
Michael, you watched every Yankee game this season like me. Now, I want you to give me an honest answer. If you knew the outcome of what you saw for the first 12 games, mm-hmm. and you have one roster move to make, not a pitcher, a starting player, what move would you make? And the move that I make, I bet you they're over 500. Go.
Well, I had said during the winter that they should get Francisco Lindor.
Okay, that's your answer.
That was if you're asking me what I thought at the beginning of the season, yeah, that would be my answer.
No, but if you know now the way the team performed, and you could start the season over by making one move.
I'd get Freddie Freeman to play first base for them.
Okay. Well, that's a good move. I would have never put an inexperienced first baseman playing first. Never would have done it. And even if you move LeMahieu there, they'd probably be over 500 right now. And that stupid throw that Torres made that went worldwide, they want to send him to the minor leagues, would have probably never happened with a decent first baseman.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to put the blame on Jay Bruce. They've made that decision. They wanted to go with offense while Luke Voit was out, and they went that route. I don't think you're going to see Jay Bruce there. I mean, occasionally, maybe, but Ruben Neto is your second baseman until Luke Voit gets here, and DJ LeMahieu's playing first.
But, he's making it seem like that it was by design that Jay Bruce was going to be your starting first baseman. Luke Voit got hurt.
Right.
Jay Bruce wouldn't be on the roster if Voit stayed healthy. He'd be your first baseman.
He was about to be released. They had to call him back.
So you're complaining about the Yankees being under 500 because they were forced to use an inexperienced first baseman because their starting first baseman got hurt. And not every throw has got to be picked. That was an awful throw. The error was on the shortstop.
How about these different takes on Twitter, Don? So Bex writes, as a devoted listener, I'm done after the question by Rosenberg. I'm sick. Then this is shocking to me. Sally Muscle said, I've been listening since 1947, but I won't listen anymore because of the way Michael treats Peter.
Wow.
Very disrespectful towards Peter. I'm done with the show.
Wow. Sally Muscle's out. Yeah.
Dominic Sally's goes, Kirk asking Peter to throw out who he thinks will be available at 19 was one of the most awkward on-air interactions I've ever heard.
Oh, come on.
Jarb goes, I'm disappointed they didn't let Andrew pop on and ask who the Eagles are going to draft.
Well, no one cares. The Eagles are barely a team next year. For the record, my question to Kirk Herbstreit was better than the last caller, and he didn't get reprimanded.
He's not getting paid an exorbitant amount of money like you are.
If he was, he'd be fired. I'll tell you that right now.
Anthony in Union Beach. Anthony.
Listen, great show, guys. All I got to say is this is breaking news. Michael Kay, not a bad guy. Michael Kay wins Great Guy of the Year award right now. As mad as he was at Peter, still gave him the last word with Kirk. Great
That's
guy,
true.
Michael Kay. Great guy.
Thank you for noticing Anthony.
You know what? Not a bad point from Anthony. Good guy. Sometimes.
And again, another, you know, self-serving point he had to make. You know what? Bringing up something that took place like 6 months ago.
Yeah, but it was an unusual moment.
Please.
And we never have him on the show.
I'm so done with you.
Well, now you just ruined it.
Wow.
Listen, I happen to know Kirk Herbstreit likes the Blue Jackets. Should I have asked him if John Tortorella is going to come back?
That's not the same comparison. It was the same. I asked him the sport. I asked about the draft.
Nick,
I asked
Staten
about
Island.
A divisional rival. I could
have said something like, hey, well, you know, Justin Fields went to Ohio State. You know, also plays in Columbus, the Blue Jackets. Do you think John Tortorella is going to keep his job?
Not a fair comparison, Don. You lost me there. You lost me.
Go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Don can go on as long as he wants. Don can do whatever he wants.
That's
but
right.
I'm calling only to tell everyone how fantastic Michael Kay looks. And I want to point out something specific here, and it's why Michael Kay is Michael Kay. Michael, if you pick up your sleeve
right.
and you show off that button to tie combination,
right.
it is marvelous.
What do you mean?
And this is why you're you.
The tie and jacket you're, combo?
The buttons on your sleeve.
Oh,
match your tie perfectly.
Well, the cufflinks?
No, the buttons on
buttons.
The sleeve of
the
coat.
Maroon.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The maroon buttons. Yeah.
Nick, you know, I love that you noticed because I spent maybe 20 minutes today trying to pick. I didn't know what kind of tie to wear with this jacket, but you picked up that I matched the buttons of the jacket with the tie.
Wow.
I really
am
special.
I think that guy's in love with you.
I mean, the jacket still should probably be, we're going to, you know, we should probably put her away for a little while, but it is.
You know what? I'm going to wear it again Monday because maybe you'll follow it up with a great question. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go right to the phones. Joe in Manalapan. What's up, Joe?
Hey, actually, it's Bennett. But anyway, I got a question
nice.
For Michael. So I'm a little bit worried about the Yankees pitching. So what if in the first inning, next time Garrett Cole is out, he's 18 pitches in, only one out. With the 19th pick, who is the Washington football team going to take?
Would have been funny if I could hear him.
Yeah. Your phone line stinks. Let's go to Louie in Poughkeepsie. Lulu, what's up? What's up, Lou?
What's going on, guys? I got to just say, Peter, I know someone who knows you in WWE. I've met you at a Giants Washington game. You're a good guy.
Good guy.
But that question, my man, oh my God. You know what? You have enough jobs. I think you'll survive. Take the rest of the year off, buddy.
The rest of the year?
Just lay off.
Wow.
The year. I'm doing it. It's for your own good. Trust me. Okay. Wow. That was just so bad.
Louis, I love that you're turning
in. High level of bad.
Yeah. It's an off-the-charts level of bad. Speaking of that, here's the big fella, Chris Carlin. He's going to have an hour show before the Nick pregame. What did you think of the question, Chris?
I think Peter should do the honorable thing and resign.
Yeah, we throw this job around pretty. Michael's ready to resign at the drop of a hat. Peter's got to resign because of an awful question.
It's unbelievable.
Why don't you just ask him about Jaylen Brown? Preview Penguins Islanders series in the playoffs. Why don't you just get into that? Maybe you can have him on the Juan Epis dead pod, huh?
Wow.
You know,
I love this side of Chris.
Jaylen Brown has been playing great recently.
Yes, and we don't care.
You know what?
I love when he brings it like this, Don. I love it.
I pray Washington finds a way to get Mac, and that's all we talk about from now on.
I'm going to bring up a great point. Maybe Chris will back me up.
Mm.
Chris loves, for some. Well, we know the reason. He loves the Texas Rangers.
I was thinking the same thing.
But would he make the listeners in New York have their ears bleed by talking about the Rangers as much as Peter talks about the Washington football team? You'd never do that, Chris.
I don't think I have mentioned the Rangers on the air since, and I'm not exaggerating here.
Juan Gonzalez retired.
Probably. Like, Michael and I text about it and joke, but here's the thing. And I mean this respectfully, and
is
I'm
it?
Just saying that. Honestly, nobody cares that I like the Rangers, and nobody cares that you like the Washington football team. That's just, it's our audience. That's
first of all, first of all, I will take abuse for this, and I'm game for it. But you overstate the lack of care for Washington when you when you compare them to the Texas Rangers. Michael is, and you. They're 1,000 times bigger in this market than the Texas Rangers.
Well, of course they are, but they still nobody cares right. about them in this particular
like
instance.
A Beatles bigger
somebody,
than an ant.
Do you
it's
honestly think that somebody said,
up.
God, I pray to God they're having Herb Street on. Please, if we know how to interview, there will be a Washington football team 19th pick question in here.
Right. Third question in.
Get to it early.
Have any of the Peanuts called to say how
they
happy
can't,
they were?
They can't even defend you. You know what, Chris? It's like if we had Paul McCartney on, he'd ask them a question about the Monkees. Really?
That's not it. It would
what
be
did you think of Davy Jones's lead singer, Paul?
It would be more like if the second question was about Wings.
No, it would not. Washington football
yes.
team is not.
No.
Because it,
no, absolutely not. It would be more like if the second question was about Dexy's Midnight Runners.
It's just not an apt comparison.
It's very apt.
It's not.
Well, listen, you have the weekend to marinate on this one, so good luck.
Now, speaking of the weekend, Chris is on from 6:30 to 8 today, and then after that, the weekend wager is on from 8 to 9, and then the Nick pregame is at 9. So it's a big show for you, Chris, an hour and a half of talk.
I have an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I am stunned. I actually thought I was off the air at 7 o'clock. I better start coming up with material.
Well, you just get the question. Get Anthony to give you something on the wide orbit about the question about number 19, and then you got an hour of talk.
Bingo.
Joseph says, I think Rosenberg Radio's question was fine. As a Giants fan, I want to know about the divisional opponent. Real Michael K., you're a bad guy for this.
What?
That's right.
Wait a minute. We were not – Kirk was not on to assess the draft as a whole. He was on to analyze the quarterbacks.
That's right. What did I ask about?
Is there going to be a quarterback that falls to 19?
But he still ended up talking about Trask and Jones.
Eventually, after asking you to repeat the question because he was so flabbergasted and unprepared for something so out of left field.
And for the record, then that would be a bad job out of Kirk because I'm looking at the draft order. And there's no reason to think that one of those guys couldn't end up at 19.
Listen, I'm going to say this as nicely as possible because I consider you a good friend. No one cares as much as you do about Washington football's team or whatever they are. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I know they're in the same division as the Giants.
They sure
Nobody
are.
Gives a damn.
Chew on that.
You know what? I got something you could chew on, Chris.
Oh,
really?
You're really?
Between his teeth.
Wow. Anthony writes, I can't wait to listen to the Kirk Herbstreit interview on the podcast. I missed the infamous question. It's true what Michael K. says. You miss a minute, you miss a lot. You really do.
Yeah, it is honestly true. It is very,
you know what,
very
you know
true.
What it is, Chris, too? This is what bothers me. I don't know if you heard when we led into the 5 o'clock interview. I thought from 2 o'clock to 5, we were putting an A-plus show together.
No, what it was a clinic.
It was a clinic on a talk show in New York.
Like if it for the aspiring broadcasters at Fordham, if you weren't listening, get a tape.
Right. Even at the Newhouse School, I think they're listening.
Well, forget about those guys. Screw those guys.
You didn't get in, did you?
No, I didn't want to go there.
Really? Yeah, I didn't.
My oldest brother went there, and it just fostered my hatred of it for early.
Wow.
Really good.
Rick DiPietro has an unbelievable take on this.
I bet he's supporting me.
Forget the reason, he's turning into the treason.
No, that wasn't it.
Wow, that wasn't good at all.
See, no, it was great.
Don, no, thank you for your honesty.
That's where you get your little DiPietro clouded glasses on. That was not gold.
I thought it was.
No.
That was zinc.
Zero. Toss that out.
Wow.
It'll filter on that phone.
Think
Shining Wizards Kevin points out the Monkees outsold the Beatles in 1967. Kevin, come back to us, okay?
He's got the finger on the pulse of the audience.
Please come back. Mr. Tibier said, will the 19th pick question be discussed in the first 3 minutes of any future Rosenberg documentaries?
Well, you think this is second paragraph obituary stuff?
No, no, first.
Rosenberg.
He derailed a clinic show with the worst question of all time to a great guest. We don't get Herb Street much, Don.
No, we're not going to get him again.
You think he called the head of talent at ESPN and said no more?
I think he called up Jimmy Pitaro and said, are you kidding me with this guy in New York?
Wait, these guys work for us?
In New York? Well, Chris, we'll be looking forward to hearing you at the end of ENN. You've got an hour and a half, so bone up on stuff, okay?
I will do just that, yes.
Love talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Peter, I don't even know what to say.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Whatever.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Maybe he saves the show with a great ENN. I'm doubting it, but we'll see. Coming up next on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.